Life's been so sweet to me.
Welcome to On Mindfulness. On Mindfulness is a show of the Shasta Resilience Project and offered here on KKRN Community Supported Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Brasilera, and today I have the great pleasure of speaking to Reverend Diana Lynn Johnson. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you, Sharon. So nice to be here today. I am the pastor and spiritual director for Mystic Heart Spiritual Center, which is an independent interfaith community that teaches universal principles and a practical spirituality. It follows the common threads of truth that run through the world's great traditions.
Mm-hmm. And I've had the pleasure, just for our listeners to know, of meeting you there at Mystic Heart, and we did some Center for Mind-Body Medicine workshops, activities, as well as some poetry. And it was great to see people come together and interested in so many mindful-related practices.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place where people are seeking to build bridges between our various traditions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, building bridges is kind of on topic for us today.
It is.
We're going to talk about, I thought that Reverend Diana would be a great speaker for something I've wanted to dive into, forgiveness, which is a hard concept for a lot of people.
Yes.
But it's really important for these challenging times.
It really is.
Yeah. So as we start, how do you define forgiveness?
Well, forgiveness is a multifaceted, I think, process and practice. Its etymology is rooted in the Old English and then through the Germanic roots, and it means to give up or to give away, to move forward, to give forward. So when we feel we've been harmed, we feel connected to the mistreatment, kind of like chained, almost like the link of a chain. And forgiveness is about breaking the chain that links us. It's for our own good, not the good of the other. And it's for our own health and our own return to wholeness so we can move forward in our lives. So I see the process of forgiveness as first coming to acceptance with what is, trying to understand, this is the tricky part, trying to understand the one who did the harm, or I call that finding compassion, you know, what's it like to be you with all that that brings, and admitting that we all have the potential to do harm, letting go of blame, self-reflecting, you know, what put me in harm's way, these kinds of self-questions. It's all part of a process. And I see forgiveness as being about freeing ourselves from the pain and making a fresh start. Not about granting approval, not about making yourself a doormat or giving permission for harm to occur again, but rather a great opportunity, a chance to grow into greater psychological, emotional, and spiritual health and wholeness and freedom and authority.
Yeah, well, you've just said a lot, and I think we're going to try to unpack that during the course of things, because it's, you know, forgiveness is something that people seem to find challenging for many of the reasons that you mentioned. And maybe we can start with that forgiveness as a process.
Right.
And why that's so important for people to understand, because I think you're right. A lot of people feel like the old saying, forgive and forget. Like,
oh, okay, don't forget.
Say more. Say more about that.
So, yes, forgiveness is an ongoing process. It's not a one and done thing. It's something that we move in and out of over the course of a lifetime. And not forgetting is essential to not putting ourselves back into harm's way, because forgiveness is not about approving of an action or giving permission for anything like it to happen again. It's simply a freeing of ourselves from the pain. and allowing both parties to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that the compassion you spoke about earlier, really critical to both of those aspects. And yes. When I think about people who have expressed a hard time forgiving, there's an element of that anger at right. the other person and not wanting them to feel the brunt of their suffering. What have you found in the people that you have counseled or in your own reflection on that piece, that allowing that other person as well as you to move forward?
Right. I think that it's really challenging. There seems to be a need for retribution on, the person who was harmed wants to see some kind of retribution. And so moving from that point of feeling our own pain deeply and allowing ourselves to do that, because I'm not at all suggesting that we don't move through that. It's part of the process. Feel it to heal it. You've got to move through your process. And yet at some time, if you don't step outside of that place and start to ask questions like, what put me in harm's way? Or what is it like to be this human being? And what could have caused so much pain in this person's life that they would need to cause pain? These questions are starting to get us outside of our own heads a little bit. And this is where the lack of willingness, where we can get stuck. Because, when you want to see someone pay for what they've done and you're in that place of feeling deep pain, it's really hard to make that. It feels like a giant chasm to being willing. But that willingness is necessity.
The willingness to let them.
To let them.
Release them.
And release them. To just, allow what we believe is that what we put out comes back to us in some way or another. So to allow the universe to take over this circumstance and do its thing as I attend to my inner life and my outer life and move myself forward.
Mm-hmm. Like it's not up to me
Right.
Any kind of balance or justice right. or,
I'm just a human being too with my perspectives and my needs, and so are they.
Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned on this show before in the Center for Mind Body Medicine materials, when we have talked about forgiveness as a spiritual small s, little air right. quotes, quality. We reference Pema Chodron, who said resentment, which is holding on to that anger,
right.
is like taking poison and waiting for someone else to die.
Right. Yeah.
That it's only harming us.
It's a little bit insane, actually.
It is. It is. But without that unpacking that you're right. talking about, it's very supported by what we
right.
see.
Right. It feels
society.
Very normal and natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The willingness that you're talking about, the focus on the other person and how they should be punished, is a huge barrier to that self-reflection.
Yes, it is. It's a huge distraction. It causes us to put our own attention on the negativity of the circumstance and on our own need for that punishment and all of the negativity around that. And it keeps us from taking the time to look inward at what it is that our needs are at this time. Mm-hmm. How can we heal? Perhaps we should be seeking some kind of assistance in our own healing. But we can get caught up in making sure that the other one's getting theirs.
Yeah, or that everyone knows.
Or that everyone
this person,
knows, yeah, yeah. And then we become, I believe, part of the problem. Instead of a solution.
Yeah. A couple of times you said that examination of what it was that put us in harm's way.
Right, right.
I'm wondering if you could say a little more about that or give an example for people who are not as familiar or experienced with methods of self-reflection.
Okay, yeah. So what I, first of all, what I don't mean is, you know, what's in my consciousness? What, you know, how am I to blame? I don't mean that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important.
It's really important because that's where people can go right away. What do you mean? I didn't do anything to bring this about. And that may well be true. You were there. It was there. It happened. And yet, it never hurts to look at, you know, what is it that caused or allowed me to be in that environment, in that relationship, in that whatever it is that, you know, you were involved in and engaged in when it happened. And it may be something as simple as it was a car accident and I just happened to be there and the car hit me and this happened. And so then it's not about, you know, anything you can really change. It's just an awareness that, oh, truly, truly, this is just a circumstance that unfolded. And mm-hmm. there may never be a why.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't hurt to do even that self-reflection. The self-reflection piece is useful in many areas of life. And you sometimes will find a something if it's a relationship issue. I have counseled people and in my younger life been part of abusive situations. You know, what is it within me that allowed me to be present to this harm that happened to me? Was that there was some psychological work I needed to do so that I would be attracted to a different kind of person? And I learned that and I made those changes. So the self-reflection can lead to that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, I can think of things that in my life that have been traumatic or that have been abusive. And my own reflection has led me to think of times where I've been more, perhaps more insecure or more trusting.
Right.
And with time, seeing that it's not that I don't want to trust, right. but to be aware of that tendency to trust too quickly,
right, right,
or an unearned trust. And so what does that teach me? What can I learn about that?
Right.
To your point earlier about going forward and what I might want to strengthen or be aware or conscious of in right. my interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's just greater discernment
mm-hmm.
that I need, but it does help in moving forward
mm-hmm.
and in not helping to co-create a similar experience again.
And it really sounds like there's both a understanding of the context that, and tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but an understanding of the context that helps you to release that anger or focus on the other person, and also to learn for greater protection going forward. Is that?
Yes.
Are those?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Are there particular, we're going to talk later about forgiveness type practices, but I'm wondering if there are either approaches or practices for self-reflection that you have used or liked. And again, I'm thinking about people who may be unfamiliar with the concept or really haven't been supported in doing that kind of work.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I call, you know, the practice of self-inquiry is a really positive and powerful tool. For me, what it looks like is I'm sitting quietly with myself and I'm asking myself questions, listening for answers that I believe each of us has a higher wisdom within us, a knowing. When we really get down to the nitty gritty and start asking questions of the self, there's an answer ready to bubble up most of the time. So you might start with something as simple as, how am I feeling today? It just a very basic physically, how am I feeling today? And then allow some time for the body to speak. How am I feeling today mentally, emotionally? And noticing what comes up, paying particular attention when there are thoughts of sadness or thoughts of feeling wronged, thoughts of criticism. And this is especially around the topic of forgiveness and when we're looking for, is there anything within me right now? So I guess that would be the overarching question for this self-inquiry. Is there anything within me right now that needs forgiving? Is there any direction in my life that's calling for forgiveness? So these kinds of questions, thoughts of criticism and judgment and blame of the self or others, because we often are harder on ourselves than we are other people, those are likely to be the places where self-inquiry can guide you toward the needs in your life, where forgiveness would be a benefit in your life. And these are the kinds of questions that once you process them, I like to use a journal and let my pen, you know, pour out everything that comes up without editing. And this can lead to a greater sense of peace. You're getting out all of the things that you needed to get out, and you're listening for answers you might not have gotten otherwise. So I guess I would say, backing up a little bit, taking a topic, say forgiveness or say mindfulness or peace of mind, and then asking yourself the questions about, you know, how am I doing with this? Where am I at this moment? And listening.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to On Mindfulness on KKRN Community Supported Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Brizalera, and I'm in conversation with Reverend Diana Lynn Johnson. We're talking about forgiveness. That practice, and I love journaling, as you know, as well. We all have different modalities for connecting. Is that a practice that you do or would advise people doing daily?
Absolutely. Yeah. There are so many ways to do it, but one of the simplest things is to pick either an amount of time, like 10 minutes, or a number of pages in a journal. And just begin the practice of asking the self what is seeking attention today, or what is seeking to be known, or whatever, some kind of a guiding question. And then put the pen to the paper and write. It doesn't matter what it is, but don't lift your pen for either the 10 minutes or the 3 pages or the whatever you've committed to. And it's amazing the wisdom that will come up with that. There's a really good book, if people are looking for a guide. It's called Writing Down Your Soul, and it's by Janet Connor. And it can really help guide that process.
Mm-hmm. Writing Down the Soul.
Your soul.
Your soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to be leading a group starting in April, so nice. I'm looking forward to that. The first Thursday, 2 o'clock.
Well, we'll put a link to that into your events.
Nice. Thank you.
In the show notes. When people find themselves being short with someone, or with a person that reminds them of someone, mm-hmm. or feeling irritated, that below that can lie an undetected, not reflected upon lack of forgiveness, something you've been holding on to for a long time.
Yes.
So it strikes me, first of all, that that can be super helpful with that. And we are surrounded by so many instances of people clearly not pausing and speaking their mind in ways that do not serve them or communication.
Right.
Right. It's pretty endemic currently. how do you talk to people about that connection between forgiveness and mindfulness?
I don't think you can even begin to process or practice forgiveness without mindfulness. Mindfulness is like a foundation. If we are not self-aware, if we don't take the time to pay attention to what we're paying attention to, then we don't have even a starting place. So the two to me are inextricably linked. You can't even begin a forgiveness practice without going within and looking for the places that need forgiveness.
You're referencing something that I have found is really challenging for people too, yes. That there are these different areas of forgiveness, right? Forgiveness for someone specific.
Right.
Forgiveness for circumstances.
Yes.
Which seems odd, but we often are mad at the world or at a higher being or at fate or things like right. that. And things that we hold against ourselves.
Yes.
As well. What have you seen in your service, in your ministry, about which of those areas seems to be most challenging for people?
I think I've seen more trouble with people forgiving the self even than circumstances or other people. We tend to be really, really hard on ourselves. And it's easier, I think, to get a clear picture of this is another person, they did this thing, it was hurtful to me, and so now my process is clear, you know. I need to try to understand it, I need to release it, I need to accept it, and then cut that link so that we can both move forward. It's pretty clear cut. But often I think we don't even realize that we're sitting in self-blame. We don't even, without the real self-reflection around that, we don't even realize that there is a need for self-forgiveness. And I believe that all forgiveness starts with self-forgiveness. Mm. Even if it's forgiving myself for allowing, you know, we talk about, in our society, we talk a lot about the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
How did I attract this to me? Well, I don't see it entirely that way. But sometimes it's more about allowing or promoting unintentionally than it is attracting. And so looking at ways that we might have allowed something uncomfortable to exist or go on without doing anything about it, and we don't even realize that we're sitting in self-judgment over having allowed something to happen. So through that reflection and inquiry, you can allow that to bubble up. And that's kind of how it happens. It's not like you're going to hear a voice necessarily, but feelings are going to bubble up. And through the pen, for myself, I know not everyone processes that way, but I get a lot of answers that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some people it might be sitting meditation
right.
or drawing or
right.
doodling.
Painting or yeah.
Yeah. Well, and when you were speaking, I thought about how seductive it can be if you find a placeholder for the blame.
Oh, yeah.
Then you don't have to. Maybe you're not absolving yourself because you're not aware that you are not forgiving yourself, but you don't have to look at it.
Right. Right. It gives you another point of focus. Mm-hmm. And what we give attention to tends to expand in our experience. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to focus on something outside of us and the blame of another party, then that's likely to be just where our attention goes and what we experience. And it does, that experience blocks our own ability to move forward. We get stuck.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen any patterns or larger categories in kind of areas that people find it hard to forgive themselves. I'm just thinking about that now, and, you know, things that I've seen about, you know, areas of not being enough.
Right.
Not seeing what you feel like you should have seen.
Right.
In terms of danger or lack of protection. Not responding quickly enough.
Uh-huh.
That sort of thing. Are there any other common areas that people seem to find difficult to forgive in themselves?
I think that in our society, the not enough theme is prevalent. It's I think you can find it in almost every case of lack of forgiveness. Somehow I fell short. Somehow I couldn't see it. Somehow I could have done better. Even mm-hmm. though we all know that, I believe anyway, that we're always, all of us, doing the very best we can in the moment we're given, with the tools we're given and our backgrounds and all that we bring, we're always doing the best we can, no matter what that looks like. That's hard, too, for some people to accept. So I think that not enough is a big one. I think fear comes into play a lot, because fear can take the clarity from your thinking altogether. Mm. You know, I'm thinking of different kinds of situations where you reacted because you were, you know, you were afraid. So, mm-hmm. And then you did this thing and you regret having done it that way. But then that's just fight or flight. That's, you know, but people are hard on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are hard on themselves.
Yeah. And I hear in that the fear of a couple of things, the fear that motivates action mm-hmm. or reaction that later you regret.
Right.
So that maybe doing some harm yourself, things right. that need forgiveness, as well as fear of, what does this mean about me? Am I the sort of person who...
Right.
Am
right.
I just masking in these other areas of my life?
Right. Yeah.
One of the things that I find really concerning are the proliferation in podcasts or in some social media mm-hmm. spheres of the very strong, often it's masculine, not showing weakness, not right. saying that you forgive, blaming other people. And those don't always lay over each other like right. that, but those tendencies that are often held up as ways of moving through the world.
Right.
Right. And we see right. that in some political leadership now mm-hmm. of
yeah.
being strong and themes of revenge or who's to blame or going after people and not a lot of self-reflection.
This is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can see that in the media big time right now.
Yeah. And what do you... tell us what we can do about that. I mean, what are some ways that you navigate that? Because it can also be an right. area where... you know, you're doing the same. Like I find myself, you know, I can't talk about forgiveness, but oh, that is really hard for me to
right.
see when people are harming others in yeah. that way. But that's also an area of mindfulness and where you can
right.
practice being who you want to be.
Yes, right? Absolutely. I think that since the media comes up here, because we're surrounded by it constantly, and thank goodness this type of media is available as well. Mm. But for myself, I want to be informed. I keep mm-hmm. myself informed, but I seek out reputable sources like PBS and BBC, Christian Science Monitor. These are some good, I can't say unbiased because everybody has bias,
sure,
but they tend to be a little more midline sources. And I tend to want to read it in print or listen to it without visual, because the brain takes on the drama of the visual with all the color and the... And I limit the amount of time that I spend with that world news. And then as I'm updating the world news, then I make sure that I balance this with an equal period of something from like the Good News Network, Positive News Network, Reasons to Be Cheerful. That's another one that's good. The Optimist Daily. So there's a lot of places you can go to hear about all of the good that's happening in the world. And that helps you to maintain your perspective and keep your focus at least on a balance of what's happening in the world, because it isn't all negative and it isn't all dramatic. And, you know, there are some good people doing some really good things right now. Very importantly, I think I look for an action I can take in my own local community, because when I feel like I'm giving my life's energy to making the world a better place in some little tiny way or big way, but it doesn't have to be big, I find that it relieves the depression, the anxiety, the helplessness that we feel when we get bogged down by all of that negative, you know, negative news and the things that we perceive as acts that should be forgiven, you know, those kinds of things. I stay actively engaged in trying to make the world a better place myself. And it really does keep my perspective much more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring up some really important points that it is important to remember that the news that's in demand tends to be the more negative, the more salacious, the better.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's an accurate reflection of what's actually
right.
happening.
Yeah.
And that you have to do a little work
right.
to get that balance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is so important to find that balance for your own mental health, for your own wellness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said something earlier about what we attend to. And I think that people are so used to passively consuming
right.
media. And sometimes you think you're not actually consuming it if you're in the room and somebody else is listening
mm-hmm.
to something.
Yeah.
But we are. It is affecting us. It is washing over our psyche, our emotions. It's getting into affecting and shaping the way that we see the world, and in ensuring that we have a better diet of media consumption.
Yeah, it's not just the food we take in that's garbage in, garbage out.
You know,
it's, everything we expose ourselves to has an impact. Everything creates some kind of chemical reaction in the brain and the body that either promotes our wellness or makes us not so well, makes us sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which goes back to your earlier point of all of the benefits of letting go of a relationship or a person or your resentment towards
right.
them that is not serving you being who you want to be
right.
in
right.
the world. Because
yeah.
that's you're inputting that as well.
That's right. Yeah. We have to learn to take that kind of responsibility for ourselves. And that also is not predominant in our Western culture. At least that's my view.
Mm-hmm. What about, because I can imagine somebody listening and saying, okay, you too, or okay, Diana, but aren't there things that are unforgivable?
Ah.
You know,
yeah.
that are so horrendous. And sometimes we navigate our criminal legal system in this way, right? That that person should be locked up forever, or you know, this is worthy of death currently,
right?
Which not something I'm in favor of, the death penalty. I'm assuming you aren't either. But people can put those categories, like, okay, I can see this, but these things that happen to children or that happen that involve, you know, grave harm are not forgivable.
Right.
How do you navigate that or help people navigate an understanding of types of forgiveness? Or
I think you're right that there are those atrocities that we want to set aside as being unforgivable. And you named quite a few of those. I would add war to that category myself, because so many innocent lives are taken.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also put serious degradation of the planet in this category, especially when done for personal power or profit. But the problem is when I label any act unforgivable, I link myself into the cycle of blame and possibly the cycle of hatred that is perpetuating these things to begin with, and that keeps me in turmoil and prevents me from seeking resolution. So my energy is directed toward the problem and not toward the solution when I call something unforgivable. When enough people get stuck in that problem, then we close ourselves off from possibilities. It's not actually the leaders that bind us. It's we who bind ourselves inadvertently. And then we become unwilling to even seek creative solutions or engage in solutions-minded thinking. So, yes, I can see where it might feel like something is unforgettable, and yet it does not serve us individually or as a society to approach life that way.
Mm-hmm. And it harkens back to what you were saying. Forgiveness is both a process, and it doesn't mean that you're condoning any actions, which I think many people, that's the message they got as children.
Right.
And that it's important to learn and protect and to move forward in a way that's more life-affirming. That's how I think about it. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
But loving.
Yeah. Keeping ourselves grounded in what is life-affirming and constructive can't help but benefit the whole, because I guess I have a belief that we are actually each individual expressions of one life force. And we're each bringing forth our unique gifts and expressions. But because we're one individual expression of one life force, then when we are impacted or any other is impacted, then the whole feels the effect. And so we're building... We're either building something constructive and life-giving, or we're not. I don't see it as there's an in-between or a neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Our words are either lifting people up or tearing people down. Our actions are either intended to make the world a better place or not. And if not, maybe we're not intending to make the world a worse place, but through our lack of engagement, inadvertently, that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, from that perspective, too, any healing that happens with someone who has done harm is healing yourself.
Yourself as well, and is healing the whole society, the whole community, the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that lack of forgiveness is really such a big barrier to feeling that connection.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? We talk really a lot. You began with building bridges and the, you know, we have talked a lot about presence for the purpose of connection and empathy, seeing each other, but unresolved forgiveness for self or others is a huge barrier.
It is a huge barrier. It's part of what I see as the biggest problem with societies at this time, at least Western societies, mm-hmm. is a lack of personal responsibility and a lack of willingness to forgive, to let go, to move forward, to look for solutions.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to On Mindfulness on KKRN and our conversation with Reverend Diana Lynn Johnson on forgiveness. Is there anything different? You've shared a lot about practices. Is there anything different or specific we haven't addressed yet that your faith tradition teaches about forgiveness?
Well, there are a couple of practices that I use regularly. One has been popularized. So there is a process of blessing that I use that I've learned, picked up from the Eastern tradition. I could not remember when I went looking for a specific source. But the process goes like this. I bless the one who was harmed. Blessed be. Now, this might be yourself, it might be another. And in sitting with that in the silence for a moment, allowing the feeling of blessing to well up and to be extended from your heart to the heart of the other. So I bless the one who caused the harm. Blessed be. I bless the one who caused the harm. Blessed be. And I bless myself in witnessing the harm. Blessed be. And of course, like with any forgiveness practice, we might start this practice not even believing our own words. We may be feeling an unwillingness, and yet, okay, I'm going to go ahead and try this. I might not believe that it's doing anything. I might not believe in the things I'm saying, but it doesn't seem to matter. It still helps to shift the heart. Mm. It still helps to shift the way we hold the whole circumstance. It's kind of miraculous to me how you can start a process that you don't even believe in, and yet it still helps.
That's a really important point, because I often encounter people who, whether it's an intention setting or in a coaching situation or in some of our mindfulness work, that, well, I don't think that yet, or I don't believe that, or what about all these reasons? People who take things very literally, who are very black and white. And as a reminder that we are immersing ourselves in these practices in order to move forward, in order to see or experience something different, that we're engaged. You mentioned earlier, doing something, engaged in working to make that change towards forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. And there, you can find many practices to use. There is a second that just popped into my brain.
Perfect.
And it is a traditional Hawaiian practice of Ho'oponopono. And this is a similar just repetition. It involves first speaking to yourself, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And you start with the self, because there may be some way that we are, even if we're not conscious, that we're casting some self-blame into the circumstance. And then we can turn that same practice outward to the other that we perceive as done harm. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm sorry for having judged you.
Mm.
Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. That can be tricky.
Mm.
So we're talking a very unconditional form of love, a willingness to give the benefit of a doubt, a willingness to offer forgiveness. And again, we don't have to believe the words we're saying. It's a helpful practice. It's been practiced for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you said that, I thought about some situations where my tendency would be more like, can I say I send love to you?
Right.
You know, can I cushion that just a little?
Yeah.
But I guess the...
To say I love you.
Yeah, yes. The invitation. And is that an invitation to connect with that higher part of yourself that's beyond the... I guess it's not always pettiness, but again, that's rising above that tendency to blame or exact revenge, that realizes the larger wish we have, desire is to love.
Right. It's pulling us out of our, what we could call our egoic self, our small self, our personal self, which isn't always just petty. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a self-protective self. Mm-hmm. It's a survival self. And it's lifting us into a part of ourselves that I believe we all have, no matter who we are, that really is seeking the same thing as everyone else. I think we all want peace in our homes and our families, with our relationships. We all want to love and be loved in our lives. We all want to feel some sense of belonging and purpose. These are just things common, I think, to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lifting us into that place where we really just want to all live here on this beautiful planet in peace as loving, giving people.
Mm-hmm. Feeling that belonging and connection.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah. Are there any other practices or exercises that might be easy for people to experiment with initially? You've mentioned a number already, so there may not be. That self-reflection piece certainly is foundational.
Yeah.
That inquiry.
Yeah, there is a simple meditation practice that it's grounded in a teaching from Ramana Maharshi. It came forward fairly recently through a modern teacher named Jeff Carrera. And he calls it the no problem, no preference meditation.
Oh.
And all that you do is you sit with your eyes closed and attempt to be very still and watch whatever arises in your mind as it pops up, and whatever it is, you mentally tell yourself, no problem, no preference, and then you move on to the next moment and you watch what arises. Oh, no problem, no preference. It's just set a timer, however long. That's it. That's the whole practice, and it's really powerful. When I introduce it to people, they laugh at me. And then they try it, and they go, oh, okay, well, it's a little harder than it sounds to actually stay with. But what people find is that the effects of that meditation carry over into your daily experience. And in, rather than it being a thought that arises where you're going, no problem, no preference, it might be an irritating situation or person that arises.
Mm.
And you begin to build the ability to observe it instead of getting hooked by it, and then to release it
mm-hmm.
with no problem, no preference. And that doesn't mean you might not later address it, but from a more grounded, thoughtful place than the reactive place you might have been in had you not given pause in that moment. So it has a positive carryover effect.
Mm-hmm. That's a great suggestion. It reminds me of another one that I heard on from a Buddhist practitioner, something similar, but saying this too belongs.
Yes.
And again, not in the way that, and I should nurture this,
right,
necessarily, but
right,
this exists, this yeah. is here.
You just put down your resistance to it
mm-hmm.
and just allow it to exist.
Mm-hmm. And it's also in the context of what you mentioned earlier, that doesn't mean you turn on the social media site that drives you the most crazy, that right, that has right. you, that fills you with existential dread, and watch it for 24 hours doing this meditation, that you
right.
you are also engaging in those other mindfulness practices
right.
and what you're consuming and
yes.
Yeah, you're giving us the whole package, Diana. I'm really, really grateful for that. Do you have any stories about forgiveness? Either something that happened in your life or something that is you can share in generic enough a way that doesn't...
Yeah.
Infringe on anybody's privacy.
Yeah, I think I could just share that in my own life so that I'm only revealing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of opportunities to practice forgiveness. In my earlier career as a homeschool facilitator and teacher, I had experiences with many other teachers and employees that didn't understand the homeschool mindset, let's just say, and so would either intentionally or unintentionally create circumstances that I then had to deal with, and they may not have been based in truth.
Mm.
And so having to navigate jobs that way, homeschool teachers tend to be a little different, so, you know, a little less boxed in, and it's hard sometimes to build relationships with those who don't understand it. So building that forgiveness into my work life, I had another circumstance as I was entering ministry where I had an opportunity, very similar, you know, not feeling understood, and eventually moving away from one thing and into another. Definitely needed to practice the forgiveness there. And then I grew up with a lot of abuses of all kinds. And so I've had the opportunity through my life to do a lot of work. At 19, I took a psychology class that first introduced me to the cycles of abuse,
mm-hmm.
the generational cycles. And it opened my eyes to, oh, this is a thing. But good news, this is a thing I can change. I can break the cycle. So I set about doing that. And over the course of a lifetime, was able to actually take my mother in the last year of her life and care for her with full forgiveness in place for all kinds of things that had previously been a barrier between us.
Mm.
So, yeah, lots of practice.
Nice. You know, we've spoken about so many things, but I'm wondering if there's anything that is coming to you that has been left unsaid or that you would like to say as we close our conversation.
Really, I think I would just like to thank you for this amazing opportunity to have this conversation. I think it's a meaningful and important topic. And I just appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing so deeply with us.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to On Mindfulness on KKRN Community Supported Radio. And you can come back to kkrn.org to see the archived copy of this conversation if you'd like to listen to it again, or any of our other archived shows that all have some practices for you to share. And while you're there, please be sure to support KKRN and shows like this. Rachel Beck of Omnificent, and the music at the end of the show is written and performed by Chris Johnson, Diana Johnson, and Dalton Fitzgerald. The song is Remember.
Just remember. Take a short time out and let yourself unwind. Take a little break and leave your cares behind. And just sit back and watch your thoughts as they float by. Then let them guide you to where